welcome to the David Crew podcast. Today I'm very lucky to be sitting with Micah Bucker, and we have recently started to collaborate with her on a few monotype works at the David Crew workshop in Arts and Main Mabineng. Today we're going to find out a little bit more about her and her practice and how her experience has been. So welcome, Micah. Great. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Excited to have a conversation.
First and foremost, let's introduce you to our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be in the arts?
That ends up being quite a long story. But so as you've already introduced me briefly, but I work as an artist. I'm an illustrator. I'm also an educator. I'm also a gallery owner. All of those things are constantly sort of influencing each other. Touching on how I got into the arts is a tricky one. I think I always, back in school, it's something I always enjoyed, and I always knew I would be sort of doing something creative at some point. I was never sure whether I would pursue more of a design path or the visual arts path, and I suppose I've managed to touch on both, but in terms of my practice, the emphasis is a little bit more in the visual arts context. So I studied a degree in visual arts and also a master's, and somehow through that managed to also get into illustration. I always enjoyed sort of digital processes as well, and illustration afforded me a space to be a little bit more sort of playful with my work. And then also was always interested in putting up exhibitions and curation. And yeah, so that also sort of all of these things happened alongside of each other. And I think why I'm mentioning it is because they're constantly informing each other, all of the different practices. And don't see myself as purely being a visual artist, but I think all of these different roles are quite important. And the sort of way that they speak to each other is also quite important because they impact my art making at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's very true how they all influence each other. I think it's so great that you're involved in so many different facets. Defining yourself as a visual artist and an illustrator, like, are those two kind of different identities?
That's a tricky one to answer. I think illustration for me sits sort of between a more commercial context. It's more client-based, I would say. So when I'm illustrating, it's usually sort of more for a client. I also make illustration work that is based on my own pure expression and not dictated by anything. So I guess it can also move into a sort of visual arts realm. But I think with my practice, the way I differentiate between the two is that my visual arts practice is a lot more experimental in some way. The illustration always has more of a clear intention or a more direct focus, perhaps, whereas with the visual arts, there's less need to have to explain myself and more opportunity to actually just try different things, you know?
Just also, if you could elaborate a little bit on your conceptual influences, or what inspires you to create the kinds of visual art that you do?
I suppose, well, my work is quite intuitively driven. I used to make work that was a lot more, I suppose it could sit more within the context of conceptual art, and that is also something I really enjoy. But the work I've been making the last few years is very much sort of an exploration of the tension between sort of order and chaos, sort of revisiting that in different iterations, I guess, and also trying different mediums. So it's not always just in terms of the visual elements, but also how the mediums can hold attention, or, you know, explore that tension with order and chaos. Yeah, so that's also developed quite a bit throughout the years. I like exploring the idea of systems. I'm fascinated by systems. What happens to a system once it's rendered futile? And at which stage does a system become futile? So in a sense, I suppose my practice is also sort of me establishing these own systems and disrupting them as well, and sort of intervening my own sort of logic that I've established for myself. It's perhaps not always directly accessible to someone else, but it's sort of setting up a system and then seeing at which extent or at what point that own system collapses through, you know, intervention. So that is what I've been working with mostly. That also sort of develops. I think what's been quite nice about the work I've been doing with David Crutt is that I've managed to take that further, and also by exploring different mediums, I've managed to articulate those ideas in different ways, so that also factors in a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just hearing a little bit about your description of your themes, like, say, working with systems, a lot of that almost makes me think of like technology or science. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, a lot of inspiration comes from music. That's quite difficult to translate how it informs what I do, but to a great extent that impacts what I make.
What's the current track that you're listening to at the moment, or playlist that you're listening to at the moment?
So I'm a playlist curator too, so that's
I
quite
love
difficult.
That. I respect that.
I create my own playlist, maybe an album I've been listening to. I've been enjoying the Arcade Fire and Owen Pallett have done a soundtrack to the film Her many years ago, and it's only been sort of shared on all the streaming platforms now. I've been enjoying that quite a bit, but beyond that I can share some of my playlists
amazing. I love that title, playlist curator.
But yeah, that's that endless discovery. I mean, I often make, whenever I'm working towards an exhibition or a body of work, I always create playlists for myself just to sort of set a tone. That's always a nice way to bring the music back into the work.
Yeah, that's super cool. Mm. I don't know if many people do it still, but I still burn my own discs.
Oh yes, I used to do that for a long time. Only with my card, I've only upgraded to Bluetooth recently,
really?
Or 2 years ago, and I still have all these. I've got boxes and crates full of CDs. I'm definitely a bit of a hoarder.
Oh yeah.
So I've got crates full of CDs that I've burned my own, and then a big part of it is the lettering, the way that you write the title of the, you know, that's also an art in itself.
And what the title is.
Yes, exactly. So that's the same as, you know, creating an exhibition at the end of the day and coming up with the title for it. So one of the big things is also, you know, back in the day I used to collect CDs as well, and then you'd get the booklet with the
art,
the album art. That was expanded across page, the whole booklet. So that's also quite
fold
important.
Fold out into like a poster or whatever.
Definitely. And even for LPs, you know, just that big cover, a big thing that also informed my work is album art. Because a lot of artists, I mean, Raymond Pettibone, for example, is an artist that I still love, and he did the Sonic Youth Goo cover. Those are quite well-known iconic album covers that actually led to him becoming a prominent visual artist, but a lot of sort of memorable album covers also got me quite inspired to make art. So they've always sort of,
cool.
Music is somehow always factored in some way.
Yeah, it is cool how all those kinds of things influence you in some way.
No,
you know,
definitely. I'm quite a fan of artists like Hannah Dabhoven, who used to work with purely language systems or, you know, notation. So any notation-based art has always fascinated me. Artists like Sol LeWitt, you know, artists that worked with instructions as well. So even though my art doesn't really directly replicate what they do or their approach is, that grappling with logic in a sense. And also, I think that sense of where is a system, where does it become, like I said, futile. So I enjoy artists that work with rigid systems, and I think discipline is also a huge part of it, funnily enough, artists that incorporate discipline into their practice. A lot of my work, I'm actually quite a messy person, and a lot of my work sort of requires very detailed focus. So even the practice itself and the processes that I engage in are quite focused and really demand a lot of concentration, which can be frustrating to me. So in a sense, there's a big sense of exploring sort of that sense of discipline in art within my work. So that is a big part of it as well. But and beyond that, there's a lot of exciting contemporary art that inspires me, but I don't know if I necessarily draw inspiration that I'm aware of. I mean, obviously that does happen here and there, but I think it's more artists like I've mentioned, Solowit and Hannah Dabhoven, whose work, on a conceptual level at least, inspires me.
Right. You've kind of developed your own visual imagery, in a sense, like it's recognizable, like the motifs that you use in your works, they're recognizable as your works because of those motifs. Is that something that you intentionally worked on to create language or symbol base that you draw from? How did that develop?
Yeah, it's funnily enough, it wasn't something that I planned to do. I didn't set out to do that. It happened as my sort of work developed, and then I realized that was happening and enjoyed exploring. That's also, I suppose, where I started establishing my own system or my own library, or like how you're referring it to it as a language or even potentially an alphabet of sorts. And it's exciting to see how one can expand on that, and at which point does it still hold that or explore that tension between order and chaos, and where does it become something entirely different and propose a new narrative of sorts. The exciting thing with that is it can evolve. Sometimes certain elements of this I suppose what you can call it, a visual vocabulary or something, are phased out and are no longer needed within what I'm doing, and I try to introduce new elements. That's part of that exploration, I think.
So you've touched on it a little bit now, but what brings you into our studio is like this invitation to start working with print. So you recently started doing the monotype process. Can you maybe just give us a little bit of an understanding of how that experience has been and how it's different from your existing practice?
Yeah, sure. I felt quite fortunate to have the chance to explore the monotype process. One of the things that I enjoy in particular is that, again, as part of the process, one doesn't have a complete idea of what the final print is going to look like, so you're constantly working, you're building up layers, and as you're doing that, to some extent you're working blindly because you get an impression of what the print might look like by turning the plate, but you're not fully able to control the outcomes. And I think that is also, I mean, as I've mentioned, that tension between that order or control and lack of control, that is something that I find exciting and to explore. Yeah, so just having the opportunity to go through that process where one's making something, which is also it's the first time I've been properly working with monotype printing, having the opportunity to try a new process and also not fully knowing what the outcome will be and having to give up some control there has been exciting. And I think that has also afforded me the space to experiment a lot more. I've particularly enjoyed bringing colour into the works. Also, often when one explores something different, it allows you to let go of these rules that one sets for oneself. So within my own practice, I've got, you already spoke about sort of these elements that I keep revisiting, but one establishes rules for oneself that dictate or your practice is exercised within that context. And yeah, just having those rules sort of erased a little bit and having to figure out new rules for myself within my working has been quite an exciting process. And I think there's definitely a lot that I explored that will impact my sort of work going forward. I think the process has allowed me to be a lot sort of more expressive. I think also this thing of not knowing what the outcome will look like also allows one to be a little bit more bold in the experimentation that one embraces. So it's been quite exciting. Some of the plates have been quite large, so that's also been nice to just work at a larger scale as well. And the layering also, as you sort of work, you are in a sense concealing parts of the work as you are working on them, as you're building up the layers, and I think that's also quite exciting. There's a little bit of a small sense of working blindly, which is a big thrill, so I've enjoyed that.
I think you've picked up the exciting aspects of it, because it does from the outside seem like a very controlled process. You've got to be quite particular about how you do the actual technical aspects of print, but there is a lot that's left to chance, and there's a lot of opportunity to like explore and create these happy accidents, and that's a lot of fun for an artist, especially if it's not your main practice. And it's great to hear that it is going to have an impact on your existing practice.
I like what you've mentioned about those limitations that the process also brings with it, and I think that's a nice thing when you're confronted with a new set of limitations. A little bit of play needs to take place in order for you to find your feet within that process, and I think it's been quite fun to sort of explore the boundaries of the process and to see what is possible. And just by engaging in that experimentation and exploration, one obviously comes across things that you don't always plan for, or that might be different from how you would do it otherwise and within your practice, and your comfort zones are also the way things that you're comfortable doing have to be flipped on its head in a sense. So the process has been very exciting. I think the collaborative aspect of it has also been exciting, having the David Krutt printmaking team that knows the process so well, and working with them and also just learning about the actual process a little bit more and how one can achieve certain things within the work. So that's been very exciting.
Awesome. I also actually like the way, because you spoke about, it's interesting that you mentioned systems and then even kind of giving yourself your own set of rules as an artist and being able to get rid of some of those rules in working here. So printmaking does, I suppose, give a certain amount of limitations. And I think as a creative, it's natural to respond by adapting. And I think it's so great that you almost do that to yourself ongoing, but now you've almost had like a shake up. So it's like welcome to the chaos. So it's just like fueling the creative process, which is it's exciting to know that worked in your favor.
Yeah, I think what's nice is having to respond to sort of these new limitations, and like I said, engaging in that experimentation and testing it. I suppose I kept joking and saying the works look like I had an identity crisis, because there was a lot that was usually where it was, my practice was a lot more contained, I suppose one could say, that I let go of in this process. Yeah, this shifting of having to adopt new limitations or work with new limitations, like you said, usually I establish my own limitations, and often the audience doesn't even isn't even aware of these, and they also change over time. And I think what's nice is that these different limitations set by the monotype process will definitely shake the foundations of what I'm doing outside of printmaking, because it's also, you know, these rules one sets for oneself as within one's own practice, obviously they're not fixed and they're always sort of being negotiated by things, by, you know, topics you explore or things that are external to your practice, and even by trying new processes and working with new materials. And that's not just on a purely sort of practical level, but it also does that to, you know, on a conceptual level as well. So I'm definitely excited to take some of that and sort of feed it back into the rest of the work.
Awesome. Yeah, and we're excited to see how that goes. And then another thing I wanted to ask you about is language. Does language influence you or play a role in your work? And do you title your works?
Definitely. So my works, the titles are often song titles. If one actually goes back, one can see all the works I've made can be one massive playlist to some extent. Also, I actually also draw a lot of inspiration from fiction, so I enjoy reading fiction a lot to some level, even if it's in a quite removed manner, but fiction also factors into my work in a very abstract way. Language definitely has always played a big role in my work, because my mother tongue is German, but I've lived in South Africa my whole life. I can speak English, Afrikaans, I can speak a little bit of French. So there's always been a grappling with language, because I've never fully felt 100% at home with any language. Being sort of German-speaking in South Africa, you're never fully German, but you're also never fully, you know, you're never fully English, you're never fully Afrikaans. Right. There's always a little bit of, I suppose one's always a little bit at a back foot. I think it's also can give one an advantage, I guess, but this thing of trying to understand things and the translating and going back and forth between languages, and a big, I guess, that sort of making sense of things is somehow translated in my work. It does definitely in some way factor in, for sure. Yeah. And I think it's probably in a very abstract way. I mean, as you can see, I'm struggling to explain that link or clarify that perfectly myself. But I think that frustration in my work, there's definitely a sort of grappling with logic or trying to articulate something that is never captured fully.
It's not like tangible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely mirrored in my relationship to language, for sure.
Okay. But like, do you think that's also where the development of your visual language has come from? It's like, okay, this makes sense to me, these symbols, these shapes, these colors.
Definitely.
And, you know, this is how I kind of can pull it together to make sense of something.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a frustration with language. And on the one hand, I'm absolutely sort of intrigued by language. I enjoy translation, enjoy writing. I don't know if I'm very good at it, but I enjoy it. I've got a big appreciation for sort of good writing, and like I said, I also enjoy fiction. So I suppose there's definitely a focus on that, and I think the work is trying to, yeah, just to sort of articulate something that is difficult to capture to some extent. I'm getting very abstract here, but hopefully
but
that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And the use of the word abstract is perfect at the end of the day as well, because your images end up being abstract. So I think it all kind of ties together. Like, you've made sense of not making sense, which is perfect. And again, it translates into your process and this new experience of doing the monotype process. I know you're involved in education as well, so I don't know if that's something that plays a role in your practice as well. Do you want to elaborate on arts education?
I'm a lecturer at Open Window, and I've been lecturing for more than 8 years now. So it definitely informs my work in some way. I think I've got a benefit of learning from my students, or, you know, there's a lot that one can learn from students as well. Having the privilege of being sort of in dialogue with a lot of other creatives definitely impacts my work. It's exciting to be able to work with young creatives, because there are a lot of new ideas, and I think obviously, as we all know, working with young creatives in an education context, it's important to me to help develop or support or create a place, I think, to create a space of support where they feel sort of safe or excited and to develop their work, and where there's an emphasis placed on the importance of their work, that also creative practice of any sorts is important and has its place in the world as well. So yeah, and I think just also encouraging people to keep practicing that habit. As I've mentioned, discipline is a very important thing for me in sort of my own practice as well. So I guess that also links up to being an educator, this thing of placing focus on practicing discipline within one's work so that you end up being a creative that's able to continue that throughout your career. People are taught to be creative, but not how to actually maintain that. And I think that's a big thing, to teach someone how to be able to maintain that practice and not to only sort of indulge in it and then run out of steam, but to actually help up-and-coming creatives to develop sustainable practice. Yeah. And just to demonstrate that there is space for it and that it's important. Oftentimes, any creative practice is undermined or sidelined. Just establishing a space where the importance of creative thinking and creative problem solving even more so is really important.
Yeah, so I think that that's wonderful to hear, and it's great that you are an educator as well. And then I know that you also founded a art gallery, No End Contemporary, in London, in Johannesburg.
Yes, so so No End Contemporary has been going since, I think we're around 6 years or so. At the moment, we don't have a permanent exhibition space, but that will happen again at some point soon. We've curated quite a lot of exhibitions. So the space was originally founded with Lillian Victor-Meyer and Jane Crawshay Hall. And currently Jane Crawshay Hall and I are still sort of taking that further. So we also used to curate exhibitions together as Curated by Collective. That was the first exhibition we had, was at Arts on Main, so which is where we're currently having this conversation.
Cool, full circle.
Yeah, at the Nyrox project space, and we always enjoyed sort of exhibition making. Also just the new possibilities that emerge out of, you know, what happens when you place works in a certain dialogue with each other, and you know, that in itself is a creative practice. I suppose that links up to my love for education as well and working with young creatives. So No End has placed a lot of emphasis on working with young creatives. I think there's definitely a lack of sort of spaces that support young artists. It's very difficult to have one's work shown, and we sort of try to establish a space for that. We've also helped or worked alongside with a great variety of artists. We open ourselves up to working with illustrators as well as visual artists, so that's something that we also think distinguishes us. And just testing sort of what the exhibition or what one can do within the exhibition format and testing those boundaries, I guess.
It's very special. I mean, I think that's something that we align with in a way, because David for Projects is also seeing the value of providing space and opportunity for young artists to showcase their works and kind of enhance their practice in a professional manner as well. I can hear from your passion and the way that you speak, I think it's so great that you as an artist are also creating these opportunities for younger artists and placing value and importance on creating a space that allows for that. And I think it's very special that you're able to do that as well as be an artist. So come from a place of empathy and understanding and also push it forward. Mm. It's very exciting to see what the young artists are doing, and it's always exciting to see it in a space that allows that freedom and growth too. So
yeah, I think a big thing is we sometimes forget that I started curating exhibitions just because it's something that I wanted to see happen, or I wanted to see more exhibitions happen, and I wanted to, as a sort of young creative, I wanted to show my own work, and it just came out of this need to make, you know, the things that you want to have happen within the scene, to take initiative and drive that. So that was sort of the starting point, and I think in order for there to be progress, we need to just be proactive and put exhibitions together and create a bigger dialogue at the end of the day.
That's fantastic. It's so great that you're doing that. Is there a specific artwork that you've created with us in the workshop, one of your monotypes, that you'd like to maybe unpack or talk about a little bit?
Well, one of the larger pieces that's actually on the table that we just walked past there. I don't create massive, large-scale works. This is one of the larger pieces I've made, and I enjoyed sort of the discomfort that came with having to work at a larger scale, especially sort of following a process that I hadn't fully settled into. But I suppose I can just touch on the process a little bit, because I think the process was quite fun, and how I started working on the plate. As I've mentioned, there was this thing of not having full control. Also, you know, you make a mark and then you turn the plate and try to get an impression of what the work might print like. So there's constant negotiation in terms of the process itself, and I think the process of creating the work mirrors what the work sort of represents. So with all the loose shapes flying all over the place and little different finer mark making that's trying to hold them together in some way. And then also adding the collage bits to it was quite nice. So the piece itself is a constant trying to make sense of something and a revealing of something that needs to sort of set into place in some way. So the collage part of it was quite nice. So after I've completed the printing, we also inserted some shapes. So it was also after I'd done the drawing on the plate, adding some Chine Coulée shapes, which were then impressed into the paper. And then the final touch was adding the collage. So the process I thought was quite interesting because it mimicked sort of what the work represents. It mimicked all these different shapes that are trying to find a balance of sorts. But in general, I think one thing I can do is perhaps rather speak about the works in a more general sense. I think it was exciting to, just by using different mediums, I also sort of embraced working in a more sort of detailed manner. Often I like creating works that are quite assertive and that are quite robust when you first sort of engage with them. But a lot of these have more space for little detours, I guess one can call them. So a lot of small little squiggles and working with the sort of crayons on the plate has been quite exciting. It allows one to really delve into sort of finer mark making. So I enjoyed allowing myself space for sort of more subdued explorations as well. So I think the fun thing is it feels like one gets to have a lot of little inside jokes, perhaps one can call them that, where you have these little moments that don't always need to be there, but that somehow adds depth to the work in some way. And also maybe in some way bring a little subtle sense of humor to the pieces that might seem quite serious at first glance. So
jokes on the inside, I love it. I love the language that you use when you're describing like the process and stuff, because you use like subdued and mimic and like I think you said uncover at one point as well. It's all these like exploratory experimental words that really explain your process and experience in a beautiful way, because it just makes it sound really like romantic, like you had this exciting expedition while creating this work, which is wonderful to hear. I think that also creates an appreciation for the final image.
I think that's a big thing, because like I said, this thing of not actually fully knowing how the work will turn out, it feels like you're sort of trying to reveal something to yourself as you're making it. That was a big part of the whole body of work. I've really enjoyed the sort of seeing the prints after they've been rolled through the press is obviously that element of surprise, that big moment that's quite exciting. Usually one makes something and you step back from it and you sort of look at it again and you get, at the end of the day, you outgrow the work, done with it and you've seen it develop, but it's always nice to have that final reveal as well, once not only as you make the work but as it runs through the press.
Yeah, for sure. There's like a quicker feedback loop when you're working directly. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Whereas you've got to have a bit of patience with print.
And obviously, I mean, as you make work, it's just a series of decisions you're making, and it's nice to not always know what the outcome of that decision is until it's actually been printed.
Yeah.
And that's quite nice. That again comes back to that loss of control a bit.
I love that description. Is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you'd like to touch on?
Just really thankful to have had the opportunity to work with David Krutt. I've enjoyed the process a lot, and I'm excited to see sort of how it will feed back into my work. So we'll see how that goes.
Thank you for joining us and for creating these works.
For sure.
We're so excited to start promoting them and sharing them with the world. So all the links will be in the bio so people can see the pictures we're talking about.
Great.
So this is super exciting. So thanks for joining
us. Thanks so much, Britt. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Cool.
And, yeah.